given in matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
All right, if you do not have a bulletin, Brother Daniel will pass one out. Welcome to Springcrest Baptist. Today is July 5th. Yesterday was the 250th anniversary of our nation. So that was pretty cool. We took just a few minutes. I tried to read it all, but it was just trying to keep the kids focused. So we read just the Declaration of Independence, and I think the first part of the Constitution. And then after that, I kind of lost on another. But it was pretty cool. You know, it's nice. You know, I don't recommend. You should read your Bible every day, but you should read some of the founding documents on occasion just to see where we come from and just some of the, you know, they really thought it through. And God was definitely part of the equation. Our Sunday morning service is 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening, 4:30 p.m., Wednesday service, 5:30 p.m., and then our soul winning time is 2 p.m. And then I'm going to give you guys one more week. This is the last verse on Philippians 1, and it's Philippians 1:30, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. So next week we'll start on a new chapter. If you can quote the chapter to two individuals that are not your family members, well, then you get a good prize. And then down there at the bottom, just a reminder, we are a family-integrated church, and I just want to point out we do have a mother-baby room. And it really is for the mothers and the babies. So even if you have older children, it'd probably just be wise to just have them either sit with the dad or in the audience. That way the little babies don't get distracted. It's already, you know, when you have like two or three screaming babies, then the moms just really need to focus, right? And so that's the goal with that. And then right there at the bottom, 2026, souls won for the year, 700. And then baptisms for the year, we have one. And then over here on the right, we have the birthdays and anniversaries. This is a packed month. So already Boaz Malutich had his birthday. And Brother Trey's birthday was just 2 days ago. And then Sister Gina's birthday was yesterday. So, and I have a nephew whose birthday was then. And then don't we have one of her sisters. We have a lot of people, not only in the church, but just in our family. I think I have two sister-in-laws. Is it two or three? No, one sister-in-law, one brother. In-law, and then my daughter. And then my daughter, they're all in July. And then we have Daniel Capriotti, and then we have Gentry coming up on the 16th. I know some people are traveling as well for the holidays. We have Aubrey coming up on the 22nd, my daughter on the 27th, Kevin on the 28th, Jerry on the 29th, Brother Jerry, and then the Rogers anniversary is on the 24th. So, if you don't know whose birthday it is, just say happy birthday to someone. Pretty sure you're going to just like one out of four people in our church have a birthday coming up. So, but if Sister Gina and Daniel could stand up, we'll sing happy birthday to them before I forget. So if you guys will stand up on the first.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. All right. Now, as far as upcoming activities, on the 19th, we have Pastor Jonathan Shelley from Steadfast coming to preach both services for us. So I definitely would encourage you to just have a big, you know, turnout, invite people. You know, if you know anything about Pastor Shelley, he's going to bring it. So, you know, it's always a fun sermon to listen to. And then there on the 26th, we have the baby shower for Christian Rogers. And then just pray for the expecting mothers, Christian Rogers, on the 31st of August, you know, give or take. at Sister Marcel in October. And then there's just there in the small print, we have a couple of housekeeping rules. The only thing I will ask, you know, on occasion I still come in and, you know, do some of the cleaning myself whenever we're just low on people. And I just, this week I cleaned up the fellowship area, and I found a lot of chicken nuggets and pizza and stuff like that. So if you guys would just help me after you eat to just sweep, that's it. Just, I mean, I don't need anything. You don't need to get down there and scrub with a toothbrush. I mean, if you want to punch your children, I'm just kidding. But if you'll just help me sweep up after yourselves, that would be great. I mean, we do regular cleaning here in the church, as I have a couple of families that help out, including ours. But just the major stuff like that does take a lot more time. And, of course, we don't want any rodents. If you guys don't know, we're not on a regular foundation. So there's like a 4-foot, like a 3-foot, 2.5-foot gap or something like that underneath. So it's really great for rodents and like animals and possums and cats to live under there, which if we leave food around, it'll be great for them to want to figure a way to get in there. So if you don't want to find any little feces of any kind, please just pick up the food because that's the way to keep it clean. But as far as on the back, just prayer request, I did add, and I'll put it officially, Brother Chris, who's back there. Brother Chris is Pastor Cobb's grandson, and he's just got some vascular issues. So just pray for him, and then continue to pray for everybody on the prayer list. If you have anybody you want to add, go ahead and just text the church number, or just let me know now or after the services. And if nothing else, oh yeah, and then we will try to schedule a church work day. We haven't had one. I try to do one once a quarter. I think we've skipped a couple of quarters, so. There's always things that we're trying to just, you know, fix up and clean up around the church. So if you guys would just keep an eye out for that and show up, we would greatly appreciate it. Other than that, if there's no announcements, let's turn our hymnals over to page 235. We're going to get on a patriotic theme here and just thank God for the wonderful country we live in spite of all its challenges. 435, oh beautiful for spacious skies, oh beautiful for spacious skies. Oh beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains. Be nobleness and every gain divine. Thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood, from sea to shining sea. Let me just make a note here. It's interesting. Sorry. Okay. And let's go to hymn number 438. And then we're going to be in Galatians 5. 438, My Country, Tis of Thee. My Country, Tis of Thee. My Country, Tis of Thee.
Tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. My native Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 1, the Bible reads, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you, that ye should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for all that you've given us here. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the country that you've given us, that where we can worship freely. And Lord, we just want to take a moment and say thank you for all you've given us. Lord, please bless the service. Bless Pastor Reyes and fill him with the Holy Spirit and allow him to preach your message with boldness and clarity. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we're in Galatians 1. All right, we're there in Galatians 1, and the title of my sermon this morning is Free from Bondage, Free from Bondage. And of course, it's on theme with the 4th of July, but specifically the fact that it's the 250th anniversary. We're still a very young country. If you think about it, the children of Israel in the Old Testament were in bondage for 430 years. So we're basically just about halfway through that, and we've still got this great heritage, this great nation. It's still probably, in my opinion, it's still the greatest nation in the entire world. And in the annals of history, I think it's the greatest nation just ever built. I mean, there's nothing like it to compare in history. There's no other, you know, if you study history, there's no nation that just has the freedoms that we've been awarded, the liberty that we've been awarded, and just the heritage built on Christ. Other than, you know, you have the children of Israel, but that's the theocracy that God led, and they hardened their hearts and they turned against God. And God just basically said, you know, I'm going to pluck it out and give it to someone that brings forth fruits. But let's go there to Galatians. We're going to focus there in Galatians 1. And what I want to do today is just, I want to emphasize that we need to not take this freedom for granted, right? And because there is a historical cycle of countries that get freed and end up coming back into bondage when they experience a lot of success and wealth and grace and just, you know, liberty. And then they confuse freedom with liberty. And the goal is not to do that. As Christians, it's our duty to just put on blinders, neglect what the world is saying about these definitions, and let the Bible define what it is for us to be free, right? Because we don't believe just in the freedom of this country. But you know, if we were anywhere else and we were still oppressed, you know what? We would still preach the word of God, God willing, right? The goal is to be free in Christ, knowing that no matter what comes down the pipe, no matter what direction countries take, whether they're more oppressive or they're more free, we should always preach Christ. I mean, Paul definitely did not live in a free country, and he preached hard, even though he was always, you know, at times he felt like he was unto death, right? And so we're there in Galatians 1, and it says there in verse 1, we're there in Galatians 5, and it says there in verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore. And that word stand fast, you know, in the old King James just means like to hold on, to, you know, be ready to deal with all the attacks, right? You're not going to be moved. You're standing fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And, you know, this is one of those things where, do we want people to get saved, to change their lives? Absolutely. This verse points to that. But it's also a part of a work. It says, don't be again entangled, meaning with the yoke of bondage, meaning that you can be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. As a matter of fact, I started the series on Galatians. On Wednesday in Galatians 1, Paul starts out before he gets here. He says, hey, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel which was delivered unto you, right? I'm like, I cannot believe that you got this freedom and this grace, and it's not by works, and somehow you just keep putting works in everything. And it's not affecting you, and I'm just giving you the synopsis, right? It's affecting those that would need to get saved that are now confused. Wait, is it by grace or is it by works, right? And today, we have the same problem. I mean, we have the same problem from a spiritual aspect. We have the same problem from a carnal aspect. I mean, if you were to go around and we would just poll people, probably if we would have gone down to the park yesterday, I think it's Eleanor Tinsley, they had a big fireworks display. If you would have gone down there and just start interviewing people and ask, hey, what does freedom mean? You know, you'd get all kinds of answers, right? It just depends on who you're doing. And the problem is because we've just gotten away from the fundamentals. Let's just look at a couple of things here before I get deep into it. I've only got 4 points for you today. But right there in verse number 3, it says, for I testify again on every man that is circumcised, that he is what? Debtor to the whole law, right? If you're doing the things of works, where do you owe your allegiance to? Is to the law. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you is justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. So, you know, if you're lost, then you're a debtor to the law. But if you're saved and you're now going, you're backsliding, now you're subject to the law instead of the Spirit. And we'll touch on that here in a second. Verse 6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And then right there in verse 13, these are famous verses. I love these verses. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So just because you have freedom doesn't mean, you know, Paul said, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient, right? And people confuse freedom with liberty. And there is a slight difference, and we're going to touch on that. It was interesting. That's why I wrote that note. I'll touch on that. But in one of the hymns, it actually emphasizes one of my points. Now, before I go too deep, this was not part of my sermon, but I think it's interesting that this is not like a thought that I would normally, like that I just came up with on my own. This is a biblical concept of being free. You know, as I walked in this morning, Pastor Cobb handed me this old article from 2023 where the Southern Baptist Convention is purging female pastors. So back in 2023, they got rid of all the female pastors. Then in 2026, they brought them back in. But what's interesting about Pastor Cobb's comment on this article wasn't this. He's like, the problem with this thing is not that, is that there's a convention, the Southern Baptist Convention, that's telling churches what to do. He's like, that's wrong. Before we can even address any of the biblical issues, we need to address the foundation, which is that every church is an independent church and should function as one. So if an independent church wants to have a female pastor and disobey God, that's their prerogative. They'll deal with between God, but there should never be a convention. And, you know, we are an independent, free, libertarian, I guess, Baptist church, right? We do what the Bible says, and then we interpret it and we act accordingly, but not what anybody says. Now, we associate with friends in the new IFB. You've heard me say that. You know, Pastor Shally's my friend. Pastor Anderson's my friend. Pastor Thompson's, I would say, of all the guys, he's probably my best friend in the group. Like, he's the one that I've known the longest. Him and I have a good relationship going back several years. But, you know, I don't ever get a call from any of them telling me what to preach. Pastor Cobb's never called me and said, hey, you should preach on this or talk about this. Now, our congregation is really good about letting me know what they think I should preach on. But I like that. You know what I'm saying? But they never say that's what you should preach. Or if I don't preach what they think I should preach, nobody's coming up to me afterwards and be like, you should have preached that, right? Now, I appreciate all the feedback, but at the end of the day, we preach and we're independent because that's how God ordained the church, right? And so the reason the Southern Baptist Convention is never going to get it right is because they can't even get the foundation right, right? And the reason our country will either be successful in the future or fail is because we've got to get the foundations right. You know, if you read the Constitution, I love the opening statement, we hold these truths to be self-evident. You know, if you think about it, where are they getting this from? From the Bible. What's the ultimate truth that we hold to be self-evident? The Bible. There's really no other way to compare. You know, we say this is an accurately historical book. It's infallible. It has no error. And you say, well, compare it to something. There is no comparison. It's self-evident. It's self-containing. At times, the only way that I can prove something to you is from the Bible. Now, other times I can go outside of the Bible. We can go somewhere else. But the majority of our doctrine is just derived from the Bible. And people are like, well, that's a cop-out. Yeah, but it's the truth. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Like, that's God, right? And so these are important concepts that we need to understand. And oftentimes when you're preaching on ideas, idealistic concepts, it's hard, right? I was an investment banker for many years. I had my Series 6, 63, my Series 7. And the one thing they taught us is they're like, hey, it's harder. You make more money selling investments, but it's harder to sell an investment because you can't touch it. You can't feel it, right? It's harder to sell an intangible thing than a tangible one. But when you are able to sell it, it reaps bigger rewards, right? Well, it's the same thing with ideas, right? If you think about like presidents and governors and senators, and what are they selling you? They're selling you their platform. They're idealistic, and they're trying to line up with your viewpoint of that. And sometimes it's kind of like this, it's hard to put it in a box, right? When we talk about freedom, or we talk about liberty, or we talk about, you know, being free in the spirit, it's not something that's really tangible. When Jesus says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that's a hard concept. You got to do it by faith, right? We believe that this country is a free country by faith. We believe that the founding fathers had all the best intentions in mind. You know, and now you could make that argument later that maybe some of them weren't good. Well, they're human. Not everybody, you know, the Bible says there's none good. There's none righteous. What is it? Romans 3:10. For there's none righteous, no, not one, right? And I think that maybe I got my verses wrong. But anyways, that's a correct verse. I just don't remember if it's Romans 3:10. So, but let me just give you a couple of definitions here. That word free, I mean, it has like 40 definitions. We're not going to go through all of them. I just wanted the main definitions are the first six, right? And it's what is the word free? It's enjoying personal rights or liberty as a person who's not in slavery, right? So we're free people. Pertaining to reserved for those who enjoy personal liberty, existing under, characterized by, or possessing civil and political liberties that are as a rule constitutionally guaranteed by representative government. Enjoying political autonomy as a people or country not under foreign rule, independent. Exempt from external authority, interference, restriction as a person's one's will, thought, choice, action, independent, unrestricted. Able to do something at will or liberty. And that was the goal of the founding fathers, right? They, if you read the Declaration of Independence, it's like, hey, people need to be able to be free within the confines of our government. You know, to be able to worship freely, to be able to think freely without somebody else trying to impose their viewpoint. You know, oftentimes we get, I mean, I've gotten that accusation probably the most in my entire life is that I'm so imposing that I'm trying to get other people to live their lives like I do. Well, the truth is I do want you to live not as I do, but as Christ does. So if you're following me, it's because of Christ. But I'm not forcing anybody. I mean, I've literally had conversations where I'll go through the entire gospel presentation And I can just tell that person's a little hesitant. I'm like, look, I don't want you to feel pressured, or I don't want you to agree with me just because I made a good case, because it is a good case that we make. If you don't want to pray, it's your choice. Because at the end of the day, that's the decision you make between you and God. I don't want to put a gun to your head, because at the end of the day, even if I put a gun to your head, God knows the heart. He knows exactly what you believe, right? And so the concept of the United States is derived from the Bible, right? I mean, that's that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that word liberty is different, and this is where people get mixed up. Because that word liberty is freedom from arbitrary or despotic government or control. Freedom from external or foreign rule. Independence, freedom from control, interference, obligation, restriction, hampering conditions, power of right of doing, thinking, speaking, according to choice, meaning you're not censored. That would be freedom of speech, right? Freedom from captivity, confinement, or physical restraint. Synonym, liberation, right? Isn't that what Christ does? He liberates us from the bondage of sin, right? Permission, that's not that one. It's permission granted to a sailor. It is liberty, but it's a different liberty. Freedom or right to frequent or use a place, unwarranted or impertinent freedom in action or speech or a form of instance of it, right? And so this is important because we have liberty. Liberty is freedom under the law. And that's why I picked that. If you were to turn to that hymn, they were consistent in that message. We've gotten away from that message in hymn 435, which was, "Oh, beautiful for spacious skies." Right there in verse number 2, he says, "Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law." Like they wrote it into law, right? The Constitution. And then, of course, we just sang 438, which I love the way it ends, because it's really the hymn of the Brits. And, you know, just in case you didn't know, it's okay to call people out and even sometimes indirectly take some of their stuff and make it better, because it says, you know, "Thy might, great God, our King," right? Instead of the King or Queen of England. And so we see these things that stand out. Now, the final thing I'll have, and I'll bring you the points, is that this is an important concept, and we need to not only focus on ourselves, but the next generation. Otherwise, we're going to lose not only our freedoms, but our liberty. And when we do that, it'll just make it harder to do what we're doing for Christ, right? And people have a bad taste in their mouth about America. You know, and I agree, America has done some horrible things. I mean, we can start with the fact that we let Israel just dictate our terms. You know, we can start with the fact that we're huge in debt. I think it's like last time I checked, it's $36 trillion. And you can go down the line. But if you compare it to other countries, we're still the greatest and most free country in the world. In Canada, I just got done talking to Pastor Weeb. By the way, if you don't know who he is, he's for Fortress Baptist Church. You know, support him, subscribe to his channel, back him. They just passed a law called C9, don't worry about it, in Canada, where they're making it illegal to basically preach the word of God. And he's literally preaching against those rules, and he's calling it out. Where here, we can preach on anything we want. Now, that doesn't mean that the liberty doesn't hold back the opposition. They're free to come and attack us if they want and say all kinds of manner of evil against us. But we're still free to do it. You know, the most they could do is just throw a pout, scream, and kick and cry. But, you know, I mean, they could basically, I guess if they wanted to, personally, they could just take action. But they can't force the government to stop us. Right. We have freedom of speech. I can say anything that's in this book freely today without any repercussion of the law coming down on me. Amen. Right? I mean, that's the fact of the matter. And there's a real famous quote I've been listening to for 20 years. I revisit it every once in a while. But the following quotation has been attributed to Tylette, although it's also been occasionally attributed to Alex de Tocqueville. And it says, "A democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy. Sound familiar, by the way? This is kind of scary, right? This is like several hundred years ago, which is always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from beginning of history has been about 200 years. During those 200 years, these nations always progress through the following sequence, right? From bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, courage to liberty, liberty to abundance, abundance to selfishness, selfishness to complacency, complacency to apathy, and then from apathy to dependence, and then from dependence, ultimately back to bondage. So we want to always be free from bondage. And if we were to go deep into this, this is not the lesson, but you know, many will speculate that we're somewhere between apathy and dependence. I mean, look at New York. They literally voted. The guy doesn't even mince words. He says, "I am a socialist," and everybody voted for him. Why did they vote for him? Because he promised, you know, childcare and rent and all kinds of, you know, basically, let's just get New York City more in debt. And not the state, but the city, by the way, which most people would just say New York City is the state. And so we're headed down that road if we're not careful. Now, the reality from the Bible is that we're probably not going to stop this train, but we can just slow it down. And that's ultimately the goal, right? We don't want to get on stupid trains like, oh, you know, let's rebuild the third temple. That's not a good train. You know, I always find it funny when Christians are excited about the third temple. I'm like, the third temple, that means that the bad guy's coming. Like, that's not a good part of the story. I don't understand this part. Like, I'm confused about why you would want to support something that brings in the bad guy, right? Like, come on. And you're like, who's the bad guy? The devil, right? The beast, the false prophet, and the mark of the beast is coming down the pipe. It's just like, doesn't add up. You know why? Because people gotten away from the principles that founded this country, which is really our biblical principles. People will say we're a Judeo-Christian nation. We're not a Judeo-Christian nation. Right. We're a Christian nation. Amen. Our entire thing is based on the Word of God, right? Our foundation is from Genesis to Revelation. If it's not in there, I'm not interested. You know, if you want me to explore it, or you want to talk about it, great. But if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I don't care. Amen. I mean, seriously, it just comes down to that, right? And so just to close this thing out right here on my first point or my intro is that philosophers will often summarize the distinction between stating that freedom is the ultimate ability to act, while liberty is the legal framework that protects that ability. Total freedom means you can do whatever you want, while liberty ensures that you are not subjective to the oppressive will of others. Meaning I can do whatever I want, but if it starts making everybody else's life difficult, then it's not, you know, it's not right. And we can take an easy example. You know, why do we hate the queers? Well, God said we hate the queers. But if we were to take it a step further, our country should do something about it, not only because it's in the Bible, but because it's literally affecting our lives, right? I mean, public nudity, as long as last I checked, is still like punishable by law in the entire country. I mean, I'm not talking like something egregious. And yet you have these queer pride parades where everybody's running around naked and nobody's getting, you know, nobody's getting thrown into jail or a citation or anything like that, right? Well, then my liberty has been imposed upon because they overstepped on their freedom, right? And so, and by the way, I was trying to use these examples with my kids who were going, you know, like about this stuff, but these are important concepts that we need to teach the next generation and we need to maintain ourselves, right? So the first point I have for you today, I have 4 points for you, is point number one, and by the way, I don't know why I got on this kick. I rarely do that, but today and tonight, I'm all alliterating. It was just easier for me. Or it all starts with the same letter. I knew this is a long weekend, so I was just like, let's make it easy. But point number one is false freedom, right? And it's what the devil's always doing. It's the counterfeit, right? I mean, even you think about information, now we have artificial information. Right? Artificial intelligence is, you know, it's funny that we get excited about AI. And by the way, I use it as a tool, but I'm not so excited because I'm always reminded artificial is not real, right? Artificial is not the real thing, right? I've got some pins in my clavicle when I broke it from the surgery. That's an artificial.
People say, well, yeah, but, you know, steel is better or whatever. No, what God did is better. Now I just kind of like, I'm patched up. You know, it's an artificial clavicle. It's not going to be the same as it was before. That's okay, but life goes on. So, but not everything that looks free is freedom. And I think that's the biggest challenge we have in America today is that people confuse freedom with liberty, right? They're just wanting to do whatever, you know, let live and let live, laissez-faire. And I remember back in 2012, we were at the Texas National Delegate in Fort Worth, and we went to listen to Ron Paul. You know, we're huge Ron Paul fans, but when we listened to him, it was kind of wild. Like, we had never really ever heard a full speech from Ron Paul, and Ron Paul was a little bit too laissez-faire. Like, he was like, let live in every aspect of your life. To an extent, it was almost maybe better that he didn't get voted into office just because of some of the super, like, it didn't lie, and not everything was Christian in his thinking. But I still think Ron Paul was way better than Mitt Romney by eons. I mean, Mitt Romney was a Mormon. I'm so glad we never had a Mormon in office. Mormons are not Christians. I don't know why they're offended in the military. Mormons are of the devil. It's one of the dumbest religions that exist in the entire planet. If you're a Mormon, stop being a Mormon. Like, just turn your Bibles over to Numbers 11. Turn your Bibles over to Numbers 11. But just as a, just to kind of give you an idea, and I think I skipped some stuff on my notes, or maybe I didn't. No, I'm good. So we've got to remember that freedom, right? We don't want to have the false freedom. I really appreciate freedom and the liberty we have because I am a first generation American. Like, I was naturalized on May 5th of 2000. You know, my dad, like, sacrificed a lot, and you know, he was actually scammed into coming into the country. He lost a lot of money and opportunity, and he didn't just go back because he wanted us to have the opportunities that we've been afforded. You know, I mean, I live and have the privileges that most people in the world won't have ever just because my dad took a risk to get here and to make sure that we had this upbringing. You know, some people take that for granted. You know, when we first moved here, we moved in with my grandma. We were really poor. And yet, probably in our poverty, it was way better than anywhere in Mexico. People don't realize, like, because America does a lot of filtering. I mean, I think every country does, but we do a lot of filtering. There's parts in Mexico where they just go without water for days and electricity for days. Most people don't have central ACs, and they can just turn on their AC in their car, and then they go from their car to their building, from their building to their house, and you know, and God forbid that you don't have AC for a little bit because you know it's the end of the world. Most people live like that every day in countries outside of the United States. You know, I mean, that's just like par for the course. And so I'm thankful, and I want you to be thankful for all the freedoms that you have every day. You know, when you catch yourself just murmuring and complaining, just be reminded, you still live in the greatest country in the world. You know, I did a whole sermon a couple weeks ago. You want to check it out, but don't take things for granted. I'll just touch on it briefly. But the World Cup, I don't know if you know, the majority of the games are hosted in the U.S. this month, right? And the biggest news isn't even the World Cup. You know what's the biggest news? Is that the world's like, whoa, America is awesome. Like, it's one of the greatest countries in the world. They're like, look at the size of this rib. You know, who saw that one with the Japanese guy? He's like, oh, so big. Arr, you know. Like, he's never seen anything like that in his life, right? And guys are, I mean, literally Brits are grabbing the ranch. And they're like, oh, they've never seen anything like it. That's America. Like, for us, we walk into like a restaurant and they give me the portion of chicken fried steak that's this big. And I don't even bat an eye. When was the last time you were like, whoa, that's a lot? That's just what we expect in America, right? But somebody comes over and they're like, this is amazing. I've never seen anything like this in my life. Yet everybody's grumpy. Everybody, I mean, just drive down Houston roads, right? I mean, road rage is like at an all-time high. Everybody's got an attitude. I mean, it's amazing. But the biggest freedom that we have in this country, think about, my dad didn't even think about it like that because my dad wasn't saved when we moved. The greatest thing that my dad did by staying here and enduring all the grief and all the challenges and trials that he had to go through is that all three of his children are saved. I don't even think he knows how great of a like of an accomplishment that is. I know my brother and sister don't see eye to eye with the type of Christianity we live, my family and I, but I know they're saved. My mom is saved, and I'm almost pretty sure that my dad's saved. He doesn't, you know, he might not realize that he's a scholar. He kind of fights things sometimes, but the greatest thing that was accomplished was that we're saved and that my children are saved. I married a saved woman. I'm serving in a Christian church, in a Baptist church that preaches the right gospel. I mean, that is the American dream right there. Like, the greatest thing that could have ever happened to me was just be able to be here, speak English without an accent, and preach the King James Bible on the 250th anniversary of our nation's history, right? Like, that's awesome, right? And the Bible says, I had you turn to Numbers, but I'm going to read for you really quick. In Romans 8, verse 1, the Bible says, There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in his likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns sin in the flesh. I mean, isn't that the greatest thing? Those are some awesome verses. Like, we're not under the law. You could kill me in the flesh, but you're never going to kill me. You could condemn me to hell all you want. You can say, go to hell all you want. It's not going to happen. You know, you're going to lose a lot of sleep. The Bible says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Right? And we need to not take that for granted. So like I said, we need to be careful with this counterfeit freedom. Right there in Numbers 11, in verse number 1, the Bible says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. The people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Pay attention here. I mean, this is just like a crazy mindset, but this is how we're living in America. It says, we remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of bdellium. And the people went out and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep through their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses was also displeased. And it's not just enough that the Lord should be angry. You know who should be angry? We should be angry. That everybody's always complaining that they wish they had this. You know, it was better. Oh, only if we were more like Europe, or only if we were more like this. You know, you're always hoping for the free stuff in the flesh instead of the freedom in the spirit. God freed them, but they just wanted the comfort. I mean, think about the stupid mentality of being freed from slavery. And they're like, we would rather be in slavery, carrying mortar and bricks just so we could eat leeks and cucumbers and all this stuff, right? And that's the mentality that we need to get away from in this country every day. You know, people just want, they want welfare state. They want stipends for their phones and their housing. And they want SNAP benefits. And they want all that. And then the minute you say, hey, but you know, you can have a better life if you don't have the government telling you everything you need to do. You could just, you know, build you up by your bootstraps. This is a great country. And then they start to do it and they're like, oh, it was just better when I had all the benefits. And that's why they don't do anything. You know, and then you get this basically devilish mentality. I mean, the Lord is angry, so is Moses, right? Israel's confusing all this free food for freedom. And isn't that what, you know, just because you're getting stuff doesn't mean that you're free. You're being enslaved, right? I would rather just go without than just continuously get, like, the long arm of the government, and then they're creeping into your house and telling you what to do and, you know, how to, you know, raise your children and how to feed your families. I mean, to me, it's not like it's not anything marvelous that New York is now socialist when the big controversy, you know, many years ago, I don't remember how long ago, it was over, maybe over a decade ago, was, you know, remember when they got rid of the big slushies? Because, you know, they were trying to get people to not be so fat. I guarantee you there's still fat people in New York City today. Like, I'm just like, I don't think it solved anything. Go to John 8. Go to John 8. But isn't that what Satan always does? He's going to disguise freedom with free things. And really what sin does is what? It advertises liberty but brings you into bondage. I mean, that's a theme throughout the entire Bible. And then you have this mentality. What? Who's ever heard it? I mean, I think, I don't know if it's popular in the young guys anymore or not, but YOLO, right? You only live once. You know, do whatever feels right. Do whatever feels good. If it feels good, do it. Well, yeah, but, you know, I'm pretty sure if you were to talk to any drug addict, they're like, oh, that first hit of crack felt good for a few seconds, and then my life's been a wreck ever since. And then they're like, and every after one, I need more because I could never, all they're doing is chasing that first moment. I'm not making that stuff up. Just talk to any drug addict and they'll tell you that's all they were ever chasing was that fake freedom, right? John 8, right there in verse 31, the Bible says, then Jesus said unto the Jews, which believed on him. It's interesting that even in the Bible, the Jews have to believe on who? Jesus Christ, right? It says the Jews believed on him. If you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Hey, if you go study the founding fathers and the founding documents, it was all based on the word of God. The only way we're free is because the Son made us free. Right. Not the revolution. Not, you know, God ordained this country to be this beacon of light. And I think eventually it won't be that light. But we still send the most missionaries. We still preach the clearest gospel. Right. We're still out there fighting the spiritual fight more than any other nation in the world. Right? Who's the most famous and hated pastor in the world? Is it from somewhere else or is it some guy in Phoenix, Arizona? I mean, let's just be, no, seriously, from a spiritual perspective, and people say, oh, you're just kissing the ring. No, I'm not. I mean, look it up. Just type in the name Stephen Anderson and he's been banned from countries and his family's trying to destroy him and people that used to associate with him are trying to extort him and hold him accountable. Where's the pastor from some other country doing the same? Now, I know Pastor, and I think somebody corrected me the other day, so let me see if I get it right. Is it Peter Bogart or Oscar? Is it Oscar? Oh, Oscar. See, I did get it wrong. Oscar Bogart, he's being persecuted in South Africa for preaching the word of God, but he's only famous in his country. The reason we know him is through who? Through another pastor, right? We're still, think about some other hated pastors, right? Or people that are making waves like on social media. Pastor Mejia has been on a bunch of podcasts. Where's the other pastors making waves on podcasts? If they are, it's all the same stuff, right? You got this young guy. I forget his name. He's like a 19, 20-year-old with blonde beach hair, you know, and whatever. And he thinks he's a Christian. And he's the next guy making waves, and he talks all kinds of dumb crap. I mean, the guy's about as saved as my pinky. Like, just, you know, he's not – he's a devil. But our guys are making the waves. It's our country, and even the watered-down churches. I mean, one of the biggest churches in Mexico City, I'm going to go to Mexico in the month of August. We're going to visit that church. It's by a pastor of the last name is Wynn. I forget his first name. And he comes from Hiles Anderson. He's a graduate of Hiles Anderson, which if you know anything, Pastor Jack Hiles led the charge before the new IFB. This guy, his church runs 3,000 independent, fundamental, saved by grace, Baptist in Mexico. The biggest church in Mexico run by a Baptist is from an American missionary that started that church. You know, where is the Mexican Baptist just tearing the world upside down? He isn't there. Well, I mean, this one, but I mean, I'm naturalized, so, you know. But I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm on one side, I'm on the other side. Go to 1 John 3. Go to 1 John 3. By the way, I am a Mexican. If you've been here, I've brought my birth certificate, so just so you know. 1 John 3, right there, we're going to be in verse 4. But you know, when we are in the Spirit, you know what? We're obviously free from sin. And this is a concept that's hard to understand, you know, the first chance, but it is possible to not commit sin. Just not, what's not possible is that we're not going to do it perpetually until we get to heaven. But when we're like, for example, when you're out soul winning, you're in the Spirit, I don't think you're sinning. You know, unless you have a bad attitude. I mean, it's possible, but for the most part, I would dare to say that most soul winners, when they're actively soul winning and they're just actually in the game, they're focused on it, they're not committing sin because they're just focused on the Word of God. The minute you remove yourself from that, then you're exposing yourself. You're weak in the flesh. You know, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Bible says there in verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and then in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not the righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Notice how it is, doeth, right? We're saved by grace, but if we want to be actively not sinning, we're doing what? The righteousness of God, right? You're in church today, God willing, you're focused on it, you're not letting your thoughts flee, and you know, you're not fleeting thoughts or things like that, then you're not capable of sin. But the minute we activate the flesh, and it's a constant battle. The Bible tells us that it's a daily war between the flesh and the Spirit, right? The Spirit lusteth after the flesh, and the flesh lusteth after the Spirit. One's going to win out every few hours or minutes or days. Proverbs 5:22, go to 2 Peter 2. Go to 2 Peter 2. Proverbs 5, verse 22, Bible says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of sin. He shall die without instruction, and in greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Look, sin is still deadly, even to us in the flesh. We can kill the body, and then we're no longer useful to the Lord here on this earth. 2 Peter 2, verse 18, sorry, I said 19, but it's 18, says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty. Isn't that what we're promised all the time? While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Right? And I mean, we see that. You see all these lobbying groups that are making, you know, they do these egregious things. You think about, like, for example, the pharmaceutical industry, right? And you think about the vaccinations in general, right? It's been documented that autism has increased as vaccinations have increased. And then what did the pharmaceutical companies do? They're like, well, you can't sue us for what? One specific thing. This one thing that we've never done these studies. You just can't sue us for it. They just promise liberty and give you corruption. But on the other hand, everywhere you go, if you go to any medical facility, they're constantly pushing what? Medicine and vaccines and all that stuff. And I let my kids, we were watching one of the World Cup games. Usually, like, I'll mute it during the commercials, but there was a pharmaceutical commercial. I said, kids, pay attention. I said, this drug saying that it's going to cure you of depression. I said, now pay attention at the end. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, side effects are suicidal thoughts, diarrhea, heart attack, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like this long list. They're like, what? Like, it's insane. Any person that is a little sane will know that that's just the stupidest thing in the world, right? Point number two, right? We don't want to have counterfeit freedom. Point number two is found freedom. And where do we find it? In Christ and his word, right? True freedom is found in Christ. You know, we don't find it in the government. We don't find it in money. What are the things that people think that they're going to have freedom in, right? We don't find it in ourselves. I mean, there's a think about it. Government is huge, right? People love money. People love self-help. And the only way we find it is in the truth, and nobody wants to listen to the truth of Christ. Now I'm generalizing. I still believe soul winning works. It works. I mean, obviously we have 700 souls won, but the majority of people just don't want to listen to it. Go to Galatians 5. You go back to Galatians 5, but in Romans 8, verse 18, the Bible says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And here's the theme. If you notice the progression, we got to get a little uncomfortable if we want to actually enjoy our freedoms. That's the problem, is that false freedom promises complacency and apathy and comfort. But life's not like that. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Go back to Galatians 5, right there in verse 13. We saw it, but let's go through this again. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." In other words, stop being selfish jerks, right? Who are the biggest social media influencers? Are they the ones serving the most people, or the ones that just love themselves the most? You tell me, right? It says, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would do." You know, if we were to go to Romans 7, Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am. You know, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the things I do." He's obviously talking about the battle. Go to Hosea 14. Go to Hosea 14. You know what? Enrique, get me a bottle of water, please. Thank you. Go to Hosea 14. And verse number 1, the Bible says there in Hosea 14, it says, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the works of our hands, to the work of our hands, ye are gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy." Verse number 4. "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him." You know, if you want God to love you freely, we need to turn back to God. We need to turn back to serving God, you know, from the Bible, the way that God has taught us and expounded in the Word of God. Right? It's not just enough to be saved, to get the blessings of God here on this earth, but we need to live for Christ. Right? These are the things that we need to do. Thank you. And so the problem is that most people don't want to do that. You know, they want the leeks and the cucumbers. There's a nice thing about, you know, going to any restaurant and just getting a big meal. But, you know, you also just get a little bit, you know, you take it for granted. God sends them manna and they're like, manna. I mean, the Bible says it was heavenly food. And they're like, we'd rather have cucumbers and leeks and just all that good vegetable. And I mean, I like cucumbers and leeks and onions. I like a good salad. But if I had God's food, I'd rather have God's food. You know, that's really the point. Point number 3, I've got 2 more points for you. We want to find the freedom, but then you know what? We don't want to forfeit our freedom. And how do we forfeit our freedom? We abuse the liberty that God has given us. And we see it all the way from the carnal, you know, where the governments are abusing the liberty and the freedom we have in this country. I got here in 1985, and I've just seen this decline in our country censorship is at an all-time high. Government is an overreach. You know, debauchery and vile and wickedness and just all kinds of manner of evil and imaginations are just rampant. People, I mean, it's just gross, right? Like, it used to be, we were talking about it earlier, like, I remember growing up and watching the movie Rocky. By the way, I'm not for Hollywood or anything, but it was just a, like, it was just the underdog story. Name me the movie that's popular now that has an underdog story. It's I guarantee you, I don't know what's out there, but I guarantee you it's all just vile and wicked and lewd jokes and gross and violent and bloody and just deceitful. It's all, that's all that's ever been pushed. And, you know, it's all kinds of just adultery and fornication and drugs. I mean, that's all that all the movies are lately. I don't even have to go online. I'm not going to do it because I can guarantee you, you can quote me on that, that 9 out of 10 movies at the theater right now have one of those themes in there. I mean, it's just a fact. Go to Jeremiah 34. This is a pretty important, if we tie it with Numbers 11, we see here in Jeremiah 34 that we are responsible for not abusing the liberty God has given us, right? Jeremiah 34, verse 8, the Bible says, this is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord after the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them. Now, Zedekiah was a good king or a bad king? He was a bad king, just to help you out, for the speed, take the time. And he says, he proclaimed liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being an Hebrew of Hebrews, go free, that none should serve him self of them, to wit, of a Jew, his brother. Now, what he's going is back to the old law and the Jubilee. You would let them all go, you know, every 7 years. You would, especially your brothers, they were in bondage to you, right? When all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should let his manservant and everyone his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them anymore, they obeyed and let them go. Awesome. Good job. They listened. They paid attention. But then, listen to verse 11, it says, but afterward, they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. Therefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with you, your fathers, in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondmen, saying, at the end of 7 years, let ye go every man his brother and Hebrew, which hath been sold unto thee. And when he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And ye were now turned, and had done right in my sight, in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor. And ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But ye turned and polluted my name, and cost every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom they had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, everyone to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim in liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. It's interesting how God words it. He says, behold, I proclaim a liberty to you, saith the Lord, to the sword and to the pestilence and to the famine, and I will make you removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. What did he say? Hey, I'm going to change my law, God's law. I'm going to change my mind, and I'm going to let the barriers and the hedge of protection I had about you, and I'm just going to let it go free. You want to be free? Here you go. Every time we attack another nation without cause, God's just like, all we're doing is just making them angry. Right? Trump was making a big deal about the 250th anniversary. We needed the reflecting pool. It was a big deal. We needed to have gladiator-style fighting in front of the lawn of the United States, you know, the White House. And it's all just forfeiting our freedom. You know, our debt is up, you know, $36 trillion. Most people are in debt. You know why they're in debt? Because we don't follow any biblical laws. I mean, how hard would it be in this digital world to just say, hey, every 7 years we're going to clear all your debt and start all over again? It would be awesome, and it's doable. You know why they don't do it? Because of greed and because of power and because they're polluting the liberty that God has given us. And you go to the churches, and you're like, hey, I saw, you know, I hear these stories. They'll tell them, they're like, hey, pastor, I saw this. You said this about, you know, the pre-trib rapture, but the Bible says this. They're like, oh, mark and avoid. Wait a minute. I thought we were for truth. Hey, pastor, you know, the Jews aren't God's chosen people. Galatians is pretty clear about that. Mark and avoid, right? Hey, but repent of your sins probably shouldn't be in our vocabulary when we're given the gospel. Mark and avoid. They're just polluting the liberty that God gave us, right? Because they want to have the preeminence. You say, that's not true. They're preaching Christ. If they were preaching Christ, they'd preach it all. And if you were corrected, you would, you know, take that correction. I had some guy on YouTube correct me on a comment I made. It wasn't necessarily wrong. I said, what did I say? I said, it'll come to me as I'm going through this. I used the word regeneration, like that, you know, on my Wednesday service. I said, hey, you know, the outward regeneration is not what's necessary, but, it, you know, we need it or something like that. And obviously, the Bible's actually talking about the regeneration of the Spirit. And he's like, that's not really a proper word to use. And I was like, look, when you preach three times a week, you're going to mix up words. And I said, but there could be a better word to be used, and you are correct. You want to be more correct. In the context of the sermon, it makes sense. But hey, he's right. Let's use a better word. I don't even know who this guy is, if he's a good guy or a bad guy. Made a good point. Life goes on. I'd rather be more on truth than not on truth. You know, like, I'm not offended. I used it incorrectly. Don't worry, my wife calls me out on it all the time, so I'm okay with it. In a nice way. My wife's really loving, but she does catch me on all my, like, backward sayings and all that stuff. And now I have Sister Liberty to remind me as well, so don't worry about it. I will get it right. Go to Romans 6. You know, you see here in Jeremiah, Israel abused God's liberty. I mean, they release the servants, then they bring them back to bondage. It's all just fake, right? And why? Because they want money, and they want power, and they want addiction. You know, people are addicted. People are addicted to public opinion now. That's why everybody's on social media, right? They're addicted to the flesh. I mean, guys, usury is bad. It's not biblical. And yet everybody here pays some form of interest, right? That's not a founding principle. It's not something that we as a founding nation would espouse. But nobody goes back and reads their constitution. Nobody goes back and reads the founding documents. They just keep adding laws to laws. Isn't it interesting what our country's become? When Jesus shows up on the scene, what have the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes done to the word of God? They just added and added and added and perverted it. It doesn't look like the original thing anymore. Go to Romans 6, right there in verse 16. There's a powerful contrast between freedom and bondage. The Bible says, know ye not, to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the everlasting life. And it's interesting because we quote this one, right? Because he says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the way we get to this verse, when we're quoting it, is he's explaining the contrast. You're either servant to sin or a servant to righteousness. You know what? You're serving somebody somewhere. So you do have liberty under the servanthood of who you serve, of Jesus Christ, right? I hope that made sense. 1 Corinthians 9, right there in verse 16, the Bible says, for I though preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yet woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It's one of the only woes that's like, hey, all the other woes are cursing, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. But here he's like, if I don't preach the gospel, God's going to come down on me. It says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Look, the way that we avoid bondage, because the only bondage we want to avoid is sin, is to live in servant, in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here on Sunday morning, serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Go soul winning in the afternoon. Show up Sunday evening. Show up Wednesday night. Hey, spend time with your family, educating them on the principles of God. Teach them to read, teach them math, teach them arithmetic, teach them all that history, but more importantly, teach them the Word of God. And then the last point for you, it's a short point, is that we need to be faithful in our freedom, right? Look, we're free to serve God, but we need to use that and, you know, basically abuse it. Our faithfulness, our loyalty should be to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we have the freedom to choose, well, I'm tired, it's hot, I don't want to go out today, just remind yourself, we need the freedom to just go out there and do it. And I mean, it's going to happen. This happens all the time. There's times where I mean, today, you know, it's we just came out of the 4th of July. I just think back to all the things that my parents struggled. Like, it's exciting for me to celebrate, you know, the nation's birthday, because it's awarded me and my family so many great things, right? So I get excited about it. But there's times where I come to church and I've told my wife, I was like, I can't believe I just preached. As a matter of fact, Wednesday, I told her, I was like, and by the way, this is just a personal thing. Please do not comment on the Wednesday service at all, other than if you want to critique me. But I just got off and I was just like, man, I totally just bombed that thing. Like, it was just horrible. I was like, I cannot believe that I just couldn't get in the flow, right? I just felt like I was off and everything. But you know what? I was here. We showed up. Because, you know, I don't want to waste that freedom even when I don't know what to do with it. And I'm just going to tell you, if you were here on Wednesday, I dropped the ball. But, you know, we just pick ourselves up and go back at it again. But you know what? I'm glad that I had the ability to drop the ball and get back on the horse again, right? The fact that you can make mistakes in America and you can lose. How many stories is there every day of people who've lost everything and in a matter of months turned around and just had much more? You know, how many people do you not know in your personal life that are like, I lost everything and now I'm better off than I was before? Only in this country can you do that so quickly. Go to 2 Chronicles 25. I'll close out with this. Give me 5 more minutes. I appreciate your time. The greatest use of freedom is to serve God. In 2 Chronicles 25, right there in verse 5, the Bible says, moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin, and he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Israel. It's interesting. The Lord's not with Israel. I thought he was always with Israel. By the way, that's just a side point, but he's not with Israel. It's interesting. Verse 8 says, but if thou will go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And the reason I chose this to close out is because, you know, that's what we're always holding on to, all the things that all the money we spent and all the time we spent doing this. And what about my career? And what about this house that I bought? Hey, how about you just look at the grand scheme of things and say, where can I serve the Lord the best? You know, my wife and I were talking, man, it would be nice to live like in a, you know, in like a Midwestern country, like, I mean, it's not country, state, maybe not so far up north, it's too cold, but we're like, man, it'd be nice to just have like, you know, seasons and, you know, just, you know, like smaller town. We were in Oklahoma and it was nice. It was just like tiny town. I don't know if Oklahoma City thinks they're big, but they're not. Like, we were like, this is great. It's like 5 minutes to everything. But we're serving here because this is where the Lord has us, right? So we're giving up all these things. Like, I sometimes, you know, when I get down on myself, I'm like, man, I could have had millions of dollars in the bank account right now. I was an investment banker. If I would have just stuck it through. But the Lord had other plans. The plans are His. This is where we invest our time. And when you look back, I like the man of God. He says, hey, don't worry about it. God's with you. He's either going to cast you down or lift you up. And I'd rather be lifted up by God than lift myself up and then have Him cast me down. Right? And so today, you know, with the freedom that you have, don't take it for granted. Don't, you know, mess around with God. You know, like they say, don't fool around and find out. Instead, just be grateful that you have salvation, that you have the King James Bible, that you have the ability to go soul winning. Who's been slapped in the face soul winning? That's right, nobody. Who's been threatened at gunpoint soul winning? Nobody. Now, I know a couple of you guys have been threatened with a knife once soul winning. That's about it. That's the most egregious thing, right? People get stabbed every day and shot at gunpoint. I mean, literally, in Mexico's nuts. People are just driving up in bikes, shooting someone in the back of the head and leaving. This is like an everyday occurrence. This is just like, you know, par for the course in Mexico. Not in Houston. Maybe some parts, but not where we live. So let's take advantage of it. And let's just, I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but let's just kick some butt spiritually. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, that my dad, for some reason, whatever the reason was, decided to just come over here and that we landed on these shores in 1985. And thank you that this country is so welcoming that I could become a naturalized citizen and that I could serve, that I could have these freedoms. But more importantly, Lord, thank you that not only am I saved, but my family saved, and that all our church members here, for the most part, God willing, are saved. And more importantly than that, Lord, that we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can be a beacon of light on a shining hill, Lord. And so, Lord, thank you so much for 250 years. And my prayer is that the next 250 would be better than the last 250, that we would do greater works, that we would spread more gospel, and that we would turn more of the world upside down in 250 years. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's turn our hymnals over to page 437, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning, his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. His truth is marching on. My eyes are going bad. Right? Hold on. Let me put on some glasses. I'm really having a hard time. I'm trying to avoid them, but not anymore. Let's go. On a second. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dimming flaring lamp. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His day is marching on. He
has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him by jubilant my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free, while God is marching on.